Comedian Joe List is joining us, and legendary drummer for The Police, Stuart Copeland, as well. We got the news, and we got all that right after this.
Globally, humans are facing massive problems that are widely ignored by governments and the media.
Like personal space invaders.
I've had it with these couples that sit on the same side of the booth.
Yak mouths.
Stupid stick figure bumper stickers.
Almond milk. You cannot milk an almond.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Angie.
We call her Pumps, and we are the hosts of I've Had It. Pumps, tell the listener where they can find us.
Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nailed it.
See you next Tuesday.
Turo, the world's largest car sharing marketplace. Book any car you want, wherever you want, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, even Australia. Spacious SUV for a family road trip, luxury car for a special event, economy car if you're on a budget, which want to get from A to B, or test drive a new electric, like maybe you've been eyeballing something, but you just don't know if you like it or not. Well, you can now drive it with Turo. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. That's T-U-R-O.com.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, founder and drummer of The Police, Stuart Copeland, and comedian Joe List. Plus the news with Chris Loxamana, and now, the only person who traveled further than him with Indian food was Marco Polo. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, but get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the Adam Carolla Show. Stuart Copeland from The Police is going to join us in just a couple of two. And then Joe List, comedian, who I hung out with in New York a little bit, is going to come in after the break. Chris is excited to meet Stuart Copeland.
We were just talking about The Police when we were in Fresno, sitting at that brewery.
Yes. First off, probably the most sound you're going to get out of three guys is The Police and Green Day.
Right.
And then maybe
Dawson's not here, so he can't chime in with Rush. But
right. And then, and then maybe George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers, who I think were a trio as well. But they called themselves a quartet or something. Somebody's got to look into that. Dawson's not here. Dawson set two alarms, and neither one of them went off.
No.
All right.
He's very upset about it.
I know, but let me say this in this modern era. Alarms not going off and or people being late with the advent of Waze. Like, I check the shit out of Waze because I have no idea. I'm in Malibu 2 days ago. I have to get to the Belly Up in Solana Beach on a Sunday afternoon. I have no idea. I checked.
It could be anything.
I checked three times, maybe five times that day. Like I checked it the night before, said, projection, 2 hours and 19 minutes. But then at noon the next day, I checked it. Like I checked the whole thing and I kept checking it. So I arrived at the minute I wanted to arrive. When people do this thing now, it's like, oh, man, there's so much traffic out there. You have ways. It'll tell you. You'll know. I'm leaving the studio. I'm going to LAX. I have no idea how long to LAX, but I will know. I will check.
It's safe.
I'm just saying, isn't the traffic excuse and maybe the alarm excuse sort of a bygone era excuse? Like, you used to be able to get up. If you don't want to go to work, you just get up and go, car won't start. And then your boss would go, bummer. And then that was it. It was totally viable to just go, dead battery.
He should have just said that.
Just got up, battery's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing they could say about it. But it's not really viable today. Like if somebody used the car won't start excuse, they could use it very sparingly, very. But if they had a newish car and a modern car, you couldn't use it twice in a four-month period or something like that. I'm just saying the alarm and the traffic, it's a bygone era that we've grandfathered into the new modern age of being late.
We're not even hearing our alarms anymore. I know people who will set 5 alarms on their phone to wake up.
Really?
Yeah. They'll do it in like 5-minute increments just to wake up.
Ben does that. Oh,
and that's the thing people are doing for sure.
Well, look, maybe this can all be tied into this smoke alarm story because people have been tweeting the hell out of this story to me.
There's a new Washington Post article where chirping smoke detectors at students' homes were disrupting their virtual classes. So now firefighters are helping to fix them.
I've been dealing with this with a love line for 25 years. 25 years. I've been hearing the chirp go off. It's an interesting phenomenon, and it also lets you know that there are no bounds and no limits to what the human mind can do. Now, people, and when Stuart pops in, Ben, you'll tell us, I'm guessing. So people go, there are no bounds and there are no limits to what a young mind can do, right? But that's a commercial for, you know, teachers.org or something. I'm saying there's a downside. There's a downside for a limitless mind, which is you can sleep in a small apartment with a 50 decibel chirp going off every 31 seconds and completely ignore it.
Well, you can tune out these days.
Well, we're going to get into this. Stuart Copeland has joined us. Good to see you, Mr. Copeland. Oh, I think he's still muted, but he'll unmute. He's in a studio swimming.
God damn it. Hey, Adam.
How are
What's
you?
What's up?
Good to see you. We're all big fans over here.
Ah, shucks. I did your show. Must be 300 years ago.
I know.
In an earlier life.
But you look the same.
The Man Show.
So, first things first, I didn't know you grew up in Virginia. I didn't know your dad was in the FBI. I didn't know you traveled to Beirut.
Only one of those three things is true.
Oh.
I was born in Virginia, but did not grow up there.
Oh, born
My
in,
dad
sorry.
Was in the CIA.
Oh, CIA.
Not the FBI.
Sorry.
Glad we got that cleared up.
What about Beirut? Is that in there somewhere?
Oh, that part's true.
Got it.
All right.
That's where I did grow up.
We got that part. What was it like growing up in Beirut, and then where'd all the music come from in you?
Well, in Beirut, it felt kind of... Looking back on it, it's all exotic and wow, how cool is that? But at the time, we didn't have TV. You know, America was the American community school in Beirut. You know, all the kids going back and forth to America would talk about this shining city on a hill that was America. Everything that was cool, new, modern, clean, and efficient was American. But I left when I was 2 months old, and I had never really seen the place until I got back when I went to college at 18. Boy, was I surprised.
How did how was the police formed? Which I will say, as a guy who loves music, when I first heard the police in 78, 79, I'm trying to think. Roxanne would probably be the first song I heard.
Don't date yourself now.
It's too late. I remember thinking, oh, this is different. There's something different going on here, because up until that point was a lot of like REO Speedwagon and Led Zeppelin and, you know, The Who and like kind of traditional rock bands. But I thought, oh, this sounds different. And it kind of ushered in what they called the new wave era. And I remember getting into it early, like, oh, I loved Joe Jackson's first two albums, and I love Graham Parker's early stuff. And I remember going, oh, this is a nice departure from the stuff I've been hearing on the local rock station. But how'd the meeting come about? How'd the band get formed?
Well, I was playing in a prog rock band, sort of not quite REO Speedwagon level, but definitely old ways. Mm-hmm. The new wave actually is almost onomatopoeic, a new hairdo. a new wave in the hair.
Right. Interesting.
But punk was just before the new wave hairdo was the punk hairdo, which is just chop it all off, peroxide it, and spike it, and go hostile rather than hippie love stuff. And in 1976, when the Sex Pistols used the F-bomb on national TV and kind of woke everybody up, that kind of popped the bubble of the previous hippie scene. And all these new clubs started springing up around England, and particularly London, with this wild new idea that you didn't need to know fancy chords. You just had to slam out E, A, and D really loud and really fast and shout hostile gibberish. And wow, how fun is that? These clubs were just – it was just a happening scene. And so I figured, that looks easy. I want to get me one of them bands. And I figured it had to be a three-piece band because there's more room in the car. A lot of good reasons for having just three guys in the band instead of four or five or six. No room in the car. Got to get two cars. And I saw a bass player up in Newcastle. I was night off. I was with Curved Air, my prog rock band. We were progging out up there. And night off, local journalist takes us to see the hot band in Newcastle called Last Exit. And I was looking for, for three piece, either the guitarist or the bass player has to also sing. Somebody's got to be on the mic. Ain't going to be me because I'm breathing too hard, banging stuff. So this band, were pretty good, kind of jazz progressive kind of thing. And the bass player, he could play and sing and had his own amp, clearly. Cool. Get his number. But there was one more detail that did not escape my attention, which is this golden shaft of celestial light descending upon his magnificent brow. And this man was just radiating meal ticket for me. And I think, got to get that guy because he just had a shining light about him. And I'm sure he had his own amp and everything. Might have even had a truck to carry it in. But man, that charisma thing stuck. And a few weeks later down in London, I got his number, called him up, said, hey, you want to come down to the Big Smoke? And I gave him a whole load of baloney, which he believed. And he did. He came down to London with his wife, baby. We kept quiet about that part. Punk rockers are not supposed to have babies. Mm-hmm. And ancient dog, Turdy. And he came down, called me up. We had a jam, and the rest is history.
Wow. That's how the Police were formed. And success pretty quick. I mean,
no.
Well, it doesn't feel quick, but bands knock around for a decade before getting traction sometimes.
Okay. Not that long. But it is a common conception that when you hear about a band, I remember hearing about Nirvana, and I called up my two brothers who are both music moguls. God, you got to check out this band, Nirvana. Well, of course, they'd been percolating. They gave me a pitying look. Oh, Stuart, go back up to your ivory tower. And so you hear about a band, you think they arrived that day, but actually, they starved for you, as we did. We starved. Okay, not for 10 years, but for a couple of years, we starved.
Did you ever cover songs back in the day, or was it always original stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We covered Curved Air songs. We just made them faster and cut out half the cool stuff. We played I Want to Get Out of This Place.
Eric Burden. Wait, We Got to Get Out of This Place?
We Got to Get Out of the
Animals.
Of Animals, okay. And another Animals song.
House of the Rising Sun?
No. There was another one. A couple that we could disguise and play way too fast and call it punk. Originally it was all my songs and the occasional cover. And I wasn't a songwriter. I didn't even sing. I never sang in the shower, never even listened to the lyrics. I'm a drummer guy. But we needed material, punk material, real easy. E, A, D, and the occasional G chord just to keep it fancy. I wrote these crap songs, which are basically bass lines with yelling. And that's all we had for material.
With all the different influences, you had punk as your big main influence. Of course, there's reggae in the Police as well. Like, what was the workflow like for you writing that first album? Like, if Peter Jackson found all the raw footage from those sessions and released it like he did with the Beatles, what would that look like?
It'd look like these my book that's coming out, which is the diaries of those 2 years, those starving years. After we started to make it, it started to get a little repetitive. But those first 2 years of struggle is where the cool story is. And we stuck together. And like I said, our material was crap. And Sting went along with it because it was a happening scene. And we just had kind of a faith in each other and kept banging away. And then we ran into Andy Summers, who did have some real fancy – that guy can play chords, really fancy chords. And then Sting's ears pricked up, and then he started writing songs because Andy could play them. Sting actually is a great guitarist and has a lot of interesting stuff that he can do with his fingers. And between him and Andy, they you know, suddenly Sting was starting to write songs for the first time. He didn't even know he could do it. It was as much of a surprise to him as it was to us that, man, that guy can write songs. And every song he came up with was, let's do that. And we'd leap on it like piranha fish. So that Peter Jackson movie would be kind of spread out, a lot of starving, a lot of jamming. And at first I had a squat in Mayfair, then we had to pay for rehearsals. It's kind of spread out, sprangled story. But eventually, when Andy joined, that's when the penny dropped and the angels started to sing.
I recovered a memory, which is I worked briefly on the sound stage at A&M Records in Hollywood. They had a big cyclorama, and they had a big sound stage, and they would film all kinds of videos there. They would also do Soul Train there, like on Sundays.
Yeah, the Charlie Chaplin. It was Charlie Chaplin's studio.
Charlie Chaplin's sound stage. And I worked there. When I left high school, I was just a nomad that just went from job to job. You know, someone would go, I'll give you $8 an hour. You paint for 10 hours. I'd go, fine. And I'd just show up. Yeah. And one of my jobs was painting the cyclorama over at A&M Records.
But another, hey, you were in show business.
The other thing I remember is the police are coming in and they're shooting a video. I think it's Every Breath You Take. But they're shooting a video on that soundstage and they need candles. Tons of candles.
Oh, yeah.
That was Every Breath
on sticks. Yeah. On down.
That was actually, we shot two videos that day. One was actually over 2 days. But the one you're talking about is... wrapped around your finger.
Yes, yes. Yeah, right.
A lot of candles.
So what they did is they pulled me off of painting the psych, and they had 150 6-foot-tall dowels, maybe 5-foot-tall dowels, and like 150 Christmas tree stands, the kits, like you make them with the fly nut and wing nut and everything. Put it all together, spray paint it black, put the candle on the top. We're going to light all these candles, and then you guys are leaving, and then the police are going to come in, and they're going to shoot a video. And so I was there setting up those sticks with those candles on them that night in 1983. 82.
That is after hiding your stash.
That's right. And then later on, the Tubes came in to shoot a crazy video. Because the Tubes were a crazy band, like legitimately. I don't know if the Tubes, I don't think it was for show. I think they were nuts. So they came in.
Really? That's good to hear. I never met them, but their records were crazy. And it's kind of reassuring to hear that they were indeed genuinely crazy.
Yeah. So you guys must have been on A&M back at the start for sure, right?
Well, they'd been around. They'd had their Janet Jackson. They had the Tubes. They had Herb Albert, of course. They had we weren't their first hit, their first time at the radio by any means. But they had the highest ratio of successful acts compared to how many acts they had. They didn't have like a huge number of acts that were going nowhere. They were very selective.
The album, by the way, we should give a mention to is The Police Deranged for Orchestra, and that's Stuart. It'll be available June 23rd everywhere you find music. Stuart's taken these Police standards, the hits, many of them, and put a whole orchestral arrangement behind them, which I always love. I'm a huge sucker for that. I can't get enough of it. Once in a while, a lot of time it comes out of London, and when I saw...
My goodness, Adam, you're actually turned out to be kind of a softy there.
I am.
I've always thought of you as like this hard-edged guy, but look, you like orchestral music? Man, that is some getting in touch with your feminine side.
Well, I'm going to go hard again, because when I saw like the London Philharmonic backing up Deep Purple and they did the song Burn, I about came in my fucking pants. I was like, this is the most rock and roll I've ever seen in one place at one time.
That's
that's true, because the rock and the orcs can indeed burn down a house. And I've been finding that playing this show. With songs that people know, Roxanne, Message in a Bottle, Can't Stand, you know, these songs that people know have a big dramatic effect anyway. But you put a big, bad, snarling orchestra raging, and it's a heck of a show.
Is there
and
a lot,
me banging stuff.
Is there a lot more pressure playing with the orchestra because there's just so many other people involved now?
Well, yes and no. Walking into the room, I've done like 30 shows now. I'm sort of down with it. You know, new orchestra every city. The Nashville Symphony, the Atlanta Symphony, Chicago Symphony, Vancouver. You know, playing with it's a new orchestra every show. And I meet them at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We rehearse for 2.5 hours. Doors at 7. Show that night at 8.
And, wow. Or
a band is going to take 6 weeks to get an act together like that. But I meet the orchestra, and 2.5 hours later, we've got a show, because they read it right off the page where I put it. I put every inflection on the page, not just what notes to play, but how to play them. And so that's why they can get it together pretty easily. And at first, yes, walking out with all those guys, 50 guys, and better be good, just before we even get to the show, just impressing the orchestra. But I got it down now. I've got my pickup, my chat up lines for all the different sections to bond with the orchestra. I know how to talk to the woodwinds to get them all chuckling. I know how to schmooze the violins to get them swaying enthusiastically. And I got my whole, I got a great relationship with the orcs these days. But it's actually very cool to walk out in front of an audience with a big ensemble, you know, a lot of musicians on the stage. Everybody knows what they're doing because they got that chart. The only person who doesn't know what he's doing is me. Since I know exactly where they're going to be and exactly what they're doing, I can take a left. Mm-hmm. I can divert. I can go off over here. I have a little adventure here. I'll see you at the double bar line. We'll catch up in 16 bars. See you there. And I can have a lot of freedom because they're so locked.
It's interesting that they're so skilled that you can just show up 4 hours before the doors open, before the performance starts, and drop off the music, and they can execute it that way.
That's why I love them so.
Yeah,
you know, rock musicians and orcs are kind of they intimidate each other, because the rock musicians look at the orchestra players and say, gosh, they can read. Wow, they're real musicians. Right. You know, I divide musicians of the ear and musicians of the eye. Now, rock musicians are musicians of the ear. They connect, they stare off into space, they have their eyes closed, doesn't matter. They're connected by their ear. Orcs are musicians of the eye. They connect to the music by their eye, reading it off the page and following the conductor's baton as a visual cue. Now, their ears are working too, and so are their hearts, but it's basically a visual connection to the music. So the rocksters look at the orcs with their charts and, you know, the old gag of, how do you get a guitarist to turn the volume down? Put a sheet of music in front of him. Now, the orcs similarly are intimidated by the rocksters because they're so cool looking and obviously live a much more exciting life, but also they can improvise. Now, for the orcs, that is a really exotic thing. You mean just make it up? Isn't that like composing on the fly? Well, any guitarist knows it's just like, you know, bweedly, bweedly, totally, 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 yeah. You know, and don't tell the orcs that, because that's the only thing they got to be impressed by is the rocksters can improvise. They can jam. But actually, we are all brothers in music. And if I can jolly them up and get them all enthused, by the time we play the show, they're all, you know, the mighty Chicago Symphony for just one night is a rock band.
Any plans for the Police reuniting and going back on tour?
No, we're getting along so well. Why would we screw it up?
Is everyone getting along well?
Yeah. I mean, we send each other dumb Instagram clips. And generally, you know, any excuse, you know, Sting wins a Grammy or I do, and we congratulate each other. Glad you brought that up.
Yeah, you just won, and just now, a Grammy for Best Immersive Audio
well,
album.
Catching up with old Stingo there, but he's got like 17 Grammys, gosh darn it.
I got to say this about Sting, and I hope you take this in the spirit in which it's intended. When he does the Police songs without the Police, he goes a little too reggae for me. I feel like he slides into a reggae riff with a lot of them. And I should have missed the slightly punk new waver version of some of these songs. At least that's what I saw the one time I saw him.
He, to sing those songs that are so beautiful and so eloquent, as I've discovered, I mean, don't tell him I said this, but getting into orchestrating these songs, I had to discover involuntarily that, man, that guy can write some songs. But for him to fly, he needs a solid platform, which ain't me. I'm a running disaster. Over his left shoulder on stage, there's World War III going on, and he's trying to sing his beautiful, poignant song. So I have great sympathy for him. And when I see him with his session guys, okay, they're not as explosive maybe, even though they could be. I mean, when he's playing with Vinio, gosh darn, that guy's got some fire. But within the Stingo context, he just needs a solid platform. And so when you see him without me, that's what he's got. And he can be his full Stingness and fly like an eagle. And it's just a different thing, you know. Maybe you prefer the more raucous band version of those songs, but his, you know, when he does them himself, even with just an acoustic guitar, they still got a thing.
Can we quickly visit his film scoring as well?
Yes.
Because, Stuart, so you obviously you've done the scores for Wall Street, Talk Radio, some of my movies growing up, Airborne and Good Burger, personally.
Whoa!
I know, we're going deep.
That's obscure.
Airborne's a rollerblading movie, Adam, with Seth Green and Jack Black.
Wow.
So I just want to know, like, how did you transition to that? Because film scoring is very melodic. So I find it unusual that we have a drummer coming in to create all these moods and melodies.
That's a good point, yeah.
Well, it started with Francis Coppola, who specifically the drummer part was what he was looking for, because his movie, Rumblefish, was all about time ticking, the ticking time bomb. And that was the overarching atmosphere that he wanted. And what better for a ticking time bomb than a drummer? And I had never really thought that much about, being a film composer. But, man, when I got in there and discovered what a fun thing it is. And, by the way, this is in between the hellscape of Police recording. We had our conflicts. And we are all now copacetic and understand that those conflicts are what made the Police what it was. But man, to get out of that Police room and into Sausalito and work with Francis, where I'm the only musician in the room, and I got to work for the director and please him. But as far as when it comes to the music, I don't got to negotiate with nobody. And it's just a beautiful, fun, it's like after 7 years of Police rediscovering what music is like. Oh my God, without having conflict. And so film, which is basically telling stories with music, and you don't need to write a song. What you do need to do is create a specific emotional message, which can contrast with what you're seeing, because people believe the film score music more than they believe their lying eyes. The handsome guy says to the woman, and the moon is shining, I love you, darling. And it's Tom Cruise, and the girl's really beautiful, and the moon is shining. And okay, the director needs the audience right there to know that he's a lying son of a bitch. So I put in my crap chord, I put in my shit chord, and the audience, they don't believe the moonlight, they don't believe the handsome guy, they don't, because I just told them he's lying. And they believe me more than they believe their eyes. And so that is very potent for a composer to be able to work with story and narrative in that way is really kind of addictive. And so I had 20 years before the mast as a hired gun film composer. And I learned a lot of stuff. One of the things I learned was orchestra. It's just a big tool in film scoring. And I got an involuntary education in the cool stuff that orchestra can do.
I will say something that struck me. You said it a few moments ago. Copacetic would be an awesome name for your new band or the next album, or I'm just putting it out there. Copacetic would be sweet. It'd be the name. It wouldn't be bad for a reunion tour with the Police. They're doing the Copacetic tour.
Police-y for sure.
I don't know. Sounds a little bit, I'd rather, you know, it's not exactly anarchy in the UK. Copacetic in the UK. Yeah. Burn down. No, don't burn down. Hold hands.
Well,
embrace.
My last question.
By the way,
you,
imagine my surprise when I got, when I started to hang out with other bands, Fish, Rush, and all these other bands, they really get along great. They produce terrific music without being at each other's throats. God, I didn't even know you could do that.
Well, maybe that it's, I used to share an office with Jimmy Kimmel, and he just has very strong opinions on comedy, and I had strong opinions on comedy, and you would have arguments if two guys both had real strong thoughts about...
That's pretty funny, actually. Right there, that's a comedy. Two comedians in a screaming, raging, shouting match about, that's not funny, it is fucking funny, you fucking asshole, I'll tell you what's fucking funny, you prick.
So I would look at it as a feather in your cap that you had three members of Police that had so much passion and were so talented and such strong opinions about it. It can go no other way. If you have one guy who is just the brains of the band and everyone else is just almost a gun for hire, then I don't think you're going to have those arguments. But I feel like the Police had such strong players and opinions that there's going to be friction.
Let's go with that theory.
Let's go with that theory.
Well, certainly in the Police, the conflict, if they'd only listened to me, we could have been nobody. and in our case, the contrast worked. But in other bands like Rush, they produce incredible stuff and they get along just fine. They're all very respectful. Fish, same thing, And these are just, Foo Fighters are the most casual hang on the planet.
I know.
Okay, it's mostly Dave, and the other guys are just on for the ride, but they really contribute. I mean, that's why they're working with Dave, is because they turned Dave on, and it may be Dave out front, but they're just a happy family. It's possible, children. It's possible.
All right. One of my favorite Police songs is So Lonely, and it seems like the funnest song to drum to for you.
That's a reggae versus, but like the punk chorus.
Yeah, and there's some real pounding on the skins in that song, but am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, that was an early favorite that we played all through the years. Actually, it has two close siblings. When Roxanne and Can't Stand Losing You have similar formula, and I preferred both of those other ones. And just somehow So Lonely. Yeah, it was fun to play live because folks love it. That always makes a song fun to play, is when folks love it. I love to love what they love.
Another good album name.
Yeah, man, we're on fire tonight.
Stuart, thank you so much for bringing such a great energy in this interview and walking through your studio and giving us an amazing tour, inadvertently, perhaps. The Police Deranged for Orchestra is the name of the album. It'll be available June 23rd. And also the book, Stuart Copeland's Police Diaries, that'll be coming out in the fall, but you can pre-order it now at policediariesbook.com and get the fun early years, 76 through 79, before the explosion of success. Stuart, great speaking to you, always.
All right, Adam, take care. Catch you on the flip.
Talk soon. The great Stuart Copeland and comedian Joe List is coming in here next, and we'll do that right after this. Let me tell you about Morgan & Morgan. People 15 to 24 have the highest rate of ER visits due to car accidents, and I got kids in that age range, and it is scary. So if you're ever injured, check out Morgan & Morgan. Submitting a claim with Morgan & Morgan is easy. It's easy as using a rideshare app, or even easier than swiping right on a dating app. and get you in a lot less trouble. America's largest injury law firm, 100 plus offices nationwide, over 800 lawyers, more than $15 billion recovered for clients. If you're ever injured, check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. It's Morgan & Morgan, right, Dawson?
For more information, go to forthepeople.com/Adam or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/Adam or #law, #529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement.
Let me tell you about Keon Aminos. That's my fundamental supplement for fitness. You may know the human body, well, it's mostly water. What you probably don't know is everything else in your body is 50% amino acids, the building blocks of life, essential for health and fitness. Naturally boost energy, build lean muscle, and enhance athletic recovery. Highest quality ingredients, no fillers or junk. Taste amazing with natural flavors. Backed by 20 years plus of clinical research and undergoes vigorous quality testing. This is a great product. I use it every day. Save 20% on monthly deliveries and 10% on one-time purchases at getkeon.com/Adam. That's getkeon.com/Adam for my fundamental supplements for fitness. It is Keon Aminos. Let me tell you about Allegiance Gold. Over the last 10 years, inflation has risen 300%. It's a 40-year high. Gold protects you against inflation, rising interest rates, and devaluation of the dollar. Volatile markets and recession. Gold is so popular, central banks are stockpiling it faster than any time in recorded history. My friends at Allegiance Gold can help you protect your IRA or 401k with the one universal currency that always retains its value, gold. Industry highest ratings, 5 stars with TrustLink, AAA with the Business Consumer Alliance, and A+ with the Better Business Bureau. For more peace of mind, have it delivered securely right to your door. It is Allegiance Gold, right, Dawson?
Get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying purchase when you visit protectwithadam.com today or give them a call at 844-213-ADAM. Ensure your future financial stability with the company that consumers trust, Allegiance Gold. Visit protectwithadam.com or call 844-213-ADAM.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Vero Beach, Florida. A 40-year-old man was arrested for exposure of sexual organs at a Speedway convenience store. Definitely not a Jew.
Comedian Joe List is in studio. He's got dates coming up. Funny Bone, and that'll be in Columbus, Ohio. That'll be June 16th and 17th. And then if you want more dates, go to comedianjoelist.com. Joe's got a pod we'll talk about. Joe made a movie with Louis C.K. Joe toured Europe and the world with Louis C.K.
I did.
Which had to be pretty damn exciting playing those huge venues.
Yeah, it was wild. It was awesome. We had a private jet with a waitress on it. It was,
wow.
This is pre-cancellation. It was really awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, arenas, the whole thing.
We were talking before we talked to Stuart Copeland, but I want to get your take on this as well. Oh, private jet. All right. I got something to say about a private jet.
Sure. I took one here.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. From West Hollywood to Glendale.
Wow. Yeah, that's such a short hop.
Yeah. Very quick.
Gotta travel if you can, though.
I was doing a show yesterday, and I was sitting next to Natasha Leggero, right? Comedian, who I like. And she was explaining that she was on that show that Shatner was on, which is like Mars and Back or something. Celebrities going to Mars.
Stars and Mars.
Stars and Mars. And so she's got a female next to her who's a writer for the show, and then she's sitting there, and it's just in between takes. So I'm like, oh, how is it? And she's like, oh, man, I had to take this little plane through the outback. It was so bumpy, and it was such a little, smallest plane I've ever seen in my life. And I said, oh, was it a prop plane? And she said, no, it was a real plane. I said, no, not prop. Not a prop. Not a plane made of fiberglass. Styrofoam. No, a hilarious prop with a propeller. A propeller plane. And her and both women looked at me and went, how would I know? How would I know that? I said, well, was it a jet? And she said, I don't know. What's the difference? I said, well, the propeller plane would have the propeller like in the front. And she goes, on top?
She's not going to make it to Mars, you guys. Spoiler alert.
That's a helicopter. You've never, both of them are looking at me like you're insane. And I'm like, a prop plane, just like a Cessna or something with the propeller. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Show business.
I like, or maybe it was a jet. She goes, I don't know. How would I know that? I go, there's a jet plane, and then all planes were propeller planes from zero to their 50th birthday. And then we had jets. Both of them are looking at me like, I don't know, this guy's crazy. I don't know what he's talking about.
That's yelling at us.
You could also say, did it sound like...
I should have done the sound. She kept saying it was the smallest plane she's ever seen. So I was like, oh, I was picturing the Outback kind of puddle jumper, whatever. And so she goes, I got a picture of it somewhere. And I go, okay. And I'm like, but you don't know if there was a propeller in the front of it? She's like, I don't know. And she's then showed me a picture of a jet, a small jet, but yeah, a jet.
Sure.
But the nose was cut off. So she goes like, I don't know if there was a propeller in front or not. I go, no, there probably wasn't. It was just, it's a jet. And then both of them looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then the greatest experience in the world. And anyone, we've all had these. We've all been on the winning end and the losing end of this.
Sure.
Because when people don't know stuff, they think it's universal.
Right.
They think they speak for all women and all of humanity.
Right, right.
And the most satisfying thing you can have is then when Jody, female, comes up and they go, have you heard of a prop plane? And they go, of course I have. Everyone knows what that is. That's the best moment of your life.
Yeah, I think my wife would know the term prop plane. I think she's familiar. I want to just say that.
It wasn't the term prop plane, which they weren't familiar with. It was the concept of a propeller.
Right, right.
That I could, like, have you ever seen an old-timey movie? They made a movie about Howard Hughes.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Because
if you saw it, you'd know all about propellers.
Yeah, Leo's in it.
Yeah, did not know what the fuck I was talking about.
One time I cut my leg on the prop of a boat, like walking, and then I told, I think it was like my aunt or something, and she was like, was it on? And I was like, well, no, I wouldn't have a leg.
You wouldn't have a leg.
But similar concept of, yes, like the difference between a spinning prop and a non-spinning one. It would be a much more severe injury.
I was also thinking about, so we were talking before Stuart Copeland popped in. You just got me onto the private plane jag here, but that's all right. We're talking about smoke detectors and the low battery chirp.
Yes.
That I have timed in my radio career, and I did Loveline for a million years. I did a talk radio show. I would put the earphones on and I would hear the chirp in the background of the person that was calling in. But the person that called in didn't hear the chirp.
Interesting. Because they were used to it or they were deaf?
Yeah, I think they blocked it.
Oh, wow.
They blocked it out in their mind.
I don't have that ability.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. I think I was reading about autism recently because everyone's autistic now.
Everyone We're all just throws on the it spectrum. Around.
Yeah. It's just, it's very liberal with autism. And so I was reading because someone was saying somebody I know is autistic. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And I was reading it and it was like hypersensitive to sounds and routines. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with it. I'm autistic.
Yeah. You checked all those boxes. I'm fine. Yeah.
Well, we have now done this thing where we went, there's a spectrum.
Sure.
And if you're annoyed by the smoke detector chirp, or you like your keys in the same place when you come home, now you're on the fucking autism spectrum.
Hell yeah. I'm using it.
But my feeling is really that's I'm on the spectrum of a disease, like because I'm consistent and because I notice things. But I tell everyone now that's how I am with racism. I'm not a racist, but I am on the spectrum. I'm somewhere.
I'm autistically racist.
I have thoughts. You bring up a group, I have a thought.
It's not my fault anymore.
But it's not full-blown racist. Right. It's on the spectrum. And if we're now all on the spectrum for everything, Asperger's, autism, Down syndrome, everyone's got a dusting of something.
Oh, big time.
Because, first off, half the shit that they say is like a liability, like annoyed by bright lights and light sound. That's good.
Right.
That you should be annoyed by loud sounds and bright lights. Like, number one. Number two, like having a routine, liking your stuff where it is, having every place or sort of having a home for everything and stuff like that. They go, well, now you're on the spectrum. Like, most of shit. Before you go full tard, most of shit leading up to full tard, like 7/8 tard, it's all commendable shit.
That should be desirable qualities.
Yeah.
He likes his car clean. Oh my goodness, let's institutionalize him.
No, it's wild how much autistic is getting thrown around now. And I have a friend who has a sibling who's like, you know, garden variety, meat and potatoes, old school autistic. And it's like, you know, if you tell him your birthday, he knows what day of the week you were born.
Right.
In whatever year. And, you know, he needs someone with him at a restaurant or he'll start throwing things and masturbating and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people that are like, yeah, my cousin's autistic. And they're like, you know, they're like acting.
I will say it's better, throwing things and then masturbating is still better than masturbating and then throwing things.
You want the things thrown.
Definitely eject all those things and then beat off.
Right, right.
And I feel bad because all of us calling ourselves autistic, we're taking it away from them now.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Listen, we have this whole thing where we try to kiss ourselves into some group that's being oppressed or some disease that we don't really have is stealing the thunder from the people that are actually oppressed or have the disease.
Yes,
you know? If I hear another woman go, as a woman, you live 7 years longer than we do, you get a break on your insurance, and you're the majority. Shut the fuck up about being a woman. Every woman in my life lives a much better life than I do.
Yeah. Plus those tits. They got the tits.
You can shower your own tits
in the room.
You can soap up your own tits whenever you want.
I mean, I would kill.
What a plus. Yeah, cry me a river.
I'd love to soap a tits daily.
My own.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I would be so clean if I were a woman. I would.
Free reign.
Where's Adam? He's taking a shower. I called 15 minutes ago. He's back.
And then he's soaping his tits. You're autistic. This guy's showering 7 times a day. He has severe autism.
So there's now a thing. So people used to call in Loveline, and I would hear the beep go off, and then I would look at the counter on the console. I think we had a clock countdown or something, and I would look. And most of the beeps back in the day would go off between 28 and 33 seconds. That's the chime. Now, I would like to talk to the people that manufacture the smoke detectors, mm-hmm. and say this. When your device gets to a certain level of battery strength, it then sends out the chirp that alerts people to change the battery because it's going to run out of batteries imminently.
Mm-hmm.
How is it the chirp can go off for 11 years? You ever think about that?
Right.
That's a lot of lead time.
There's no end to the chirp,
yeah.
Which is using energy and making an. Its job is not to put the fire out. Its job is to simply alert you through chirping that there is a fire.
Right.
So why don't you take the 29,000 chirps that you used to let me know there was a low battery and save some of them for the actual fucking fire.
Yeah, save the chirps.
Because I've never met the amount of chirps it will give to First off, how low can this battery be? It's like the sun.
Right.
This thing's been chirping for 9 years. What do you mean there's a low battery? Is there a separate battery for the chirp? There isn't.
It's a lot of wasted energy that could be used for the actual alarm.
I got to say, I think I have a smoke detector that hasn't worked in years, and we're just going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We live in New York. It's a one-bedroom. I feel like the heat would wake us up.
Yeah. So people would call, and the smoke detector would go off, and I'd hear it every 30 seconds. And sometimes it was even in the distance, and I'd say, where are you? And they'd be like, I'm in the living room. And I'd go, where's the smoke detector? And the first answer would be, what smoke detector? The second one would be, oh, it's in the bedroom. I'd go, and you sleep in the bedroom? Yeah. I go, you just go in and just go to bed. Uh-huh. And that's when I realized we were talking about the – first off, I would tell him that would drive a reptile insane. Like if there was an iguana in that room, in a terrarium, it would hang itself after 2 days. You somehow can tune this out, but I thought the human mind is capable of amazing feats, and it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't have that mindset. One chirp, and I would be like, when people have their phone on in public and it goes off, it makes me psychotic. I'm like, I don't know how you left your house like that. That's outrageous. I'm like outraged by somebody's phone being like, doot, doot, doot. And I'm like, that's crazy.
I cannot tell you the amount of times I was just shooting the show yesterday, and everyone, you got downtime in between whatever. So everyone's just messing around with their phone, you know, looking at tweets or whatever. When they say it's time to film, I shut my phone off. I don't put it on airplane mode or silent. I literally, it's powered down. And at some point, Howie Mandel's phone starts, a song starts coming out of it. And it's always like, oh, hey, sorry about that. I don't know how that got there. It's like, it's going to happen. It has to happen. Like, literally just shut the power off. Don't even leave an iota of a chance.
I've seen people in public. Have you seen these people where, like, their phone is ringing and they're not, like, fumbling to shut it off? Like, if my phone went off in public, I would fucking throw it on the ground and jump on it and and apologize to everybody
or
individually.
Or, like, into a body of water if you're walking by a river or something.
Yeah, I'd write letters to everybody. I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. I will kill myself if you ask me to. But some people, they'll look at their phone and it's literally, and they're contemplating if they should answer it. I'm like, how are you not silencing that? That's fucking wild to me.
Well, they got more iguana brain than they do human brain.
Right.
But I'm always quietly envious of those people.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I have sort of rage and envy for them, which is a weird, you know, dichotomy. We have a clip of smoke detector incident on Loveline. What is that?
All right, Drew. Let's get to the phones. Where do you want to go? Two?
Six.
Six. Brody.
Hello.
Turn your radio down.
That's my TV. I'm sorry.
What's happening? You're 15?
Yes.
Where are you calling from, Oakland?
Mm-hmm.
Will you turn your radio? Please, on this day of mourning, do not have me start yelling at the first caller. Call Sandra.
Okay.
All right. Is it turned down?
Go, Brody.
Yes. Okay, my question is, it okay if you're, like, tired of hearing about it, about...
Oh, my God. And, like, first call of the night.
Smoke detector, huh?
Bro, did you hear that little chirping sound?
You can hear it?
Yeah, we're just glad to know that you can hear it.
TV is still on, too.
Yeah. I hear it.
All right, Brody, don't talk for just one moment, please.
Hang on. Oh, she turned the TV down.
Oh, she turned the TV down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not all the way, but turn it down.
Hey, Brody?
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
You're tired of hearing about 9/11.
Yes, and I just want to know, is it okay?
Most people... There we go again. Yeah. How do you live with that thing chirping in the background? It's hard to have
You sort of just learn to tune in.
Oh, there's one in another room going on. Did you hear
two?
You've got two separate smoke detectors that are low on batteries?
There's like one in each room.
And they're all chirping?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Oh, my God.
Drew, I know this is really, it's just not tonight, but I can't help myself. That would bother a reptile. Do you understand? Like, if you had an iguana, it would start freaking out eventually.
Yes. Oh, my God.
If you're a human being who has two smoke detectors that chirp every 35 seconds.
We only heard two. She kind of alluded that maybe there are more.
And you're living with it. Don't you need a PET scan at that point?
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't cats, you
be
yes,
worried
MRI.
That there might be... there might be tumors growing in the brain.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Hearing testing immediately. Audiologist, brain scan. Yes.
I'm not worried about the hearing part. I'm worried about the processing part.
Well, if they hear it, then yes, the processing is of grave concern.
I would think there'd be like golf ball-sized tumor.
With that chirping, I hear it through my skull.
Yeah, yes, yes. Deaf people can play football because they smack a big drum, and that's how they know when to get off the ball because they can feel the vibrations. And yes, I feel that smoke detector in my testicles. You could take six candles and pour them in each ear, and I would still feel it when it went off. All right, let's get back. Yeah.
So now it's a bigger problem. This is 20-some-odd years ago.
Right.
It is now epidemic levels in that... They couldn't do online school in Washington, D.C. because there were too many smoke detectors going off.
Wow.
Chirping, not going off.
So what is the issue? Just a procrastination issue? People just don't want to change the batteries? They just put it off?
It's like up there with like the low or your engine needs a...
Right, check engine light.
Yeah, when the check engine light comes on, it bumps you for like 2 days, and then it just becomes part of the scenery.
Yeah.
But how about this? Can we get here from there? Can we start mounting smoke detectors on the wall at the 6-foot level? Now, I know it's not. Look, here's what I would say to the fire chief. I'd say, listen. Let's put on the wall, let's put it to put about eye level on the wall and make sure everyone doesn't need to get a stepladder to get to the smoke detector and they can just change the battery. And then he'd go, but that's not as effective as having it on the ceiling. And I'd go, right, but if you never change the fucking battery ever, isn't that the least effective?
That's
so
a great point.
It might be... 67% to 81% as effective on the wall. It would be more effective if it was on the ceiling, but it's on the wall. But if it never got the battery change and it was rendered useless, then it's 0% effective.
Yeah, you got to get the step ladder.
You got to put it within reach.
Yeah, this is like a Malcolm Gladwell problem.
Yes,
we have
it is.
Here.
Because if they could walk up to it, first off, you got to get it by their head.
Right,
you have to have them walking down the hall or whatever and have it chirp right as they're going by. But if they can stand there and undo it, they can do it.
It's a little bit of an eyesore.
Get the stepping stone. Yeah, but they're white. They're small. They're
fine. It's not an eyesore. It's living through a fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's another idea is a motion sensor chirp. So it chirps right as you're there.
Yeah.
It sees you. Ah. And when it walks by, it goes, hey! You know, it does some...
Guys, this is going to take a lot of battery power now. We're putting motion sensors.
Maybe it says like a racial slur as you walk by.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a guess.
Hey, Dago! It is vexing that the amount of time it'll chirp every 30 seconds, 24/7, including weekends and holidays... That time period is limitless. So what is the code for a battery? I mean, how can it be down to 10% and have the chirp go off for 7 years?
Well, maybe
it's what
like
I'm saying.
A cell phone, because a cell phone, the last 1% lasts like forever. Have you ever had your phone at 1%? Like the whole thing drains and it's at 1% for quite a while.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe they put a little extra.
Maybe
jizz
it's like
in the last
1% with the car when it gets down to like zero range and you drive around for 14 miles looking for a gas station. You're like, were we really at zero?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we have Joy. Oh, Joy
Reed.
Who? Joy Reed. Sorry, I knew a chick who was who worked for like Vivid Entertainment. Her name was Joy King, and I think that was her real name. She just happened to. Answer the calling of porn, but
the Joy King,
and it was Joy King.
That's pretty good.
And and so every once in a blue moon, when I'm thinking about Joy Reid, Joy King's head pops into my.
Don't confuse the two in brain. Fantasy.
Yeah. So she's given a speech about how racist Ron DeSantis is, and in her 2-minute speech, the smoke detector hits 3 times, and she's a woman of wealth. She has money.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, so now this is a big issue because nobody thought it was a big issue. I've known it was a big issue for 25 years because I do a radio show where people had the chirp going off. The people who work for the fire department couldn't imagine people living with this, but they underestimated us,
wow,
is what I'm saying.
I'm blown away by this.
Yeah, it's sort of like when you see people shitting in the streets and fighting with rebar and machetes, you're like, oh, I grossly overestimated humanity.
Right, right.
I didn't know what we're fully capable of.
Yeah, you see a lot of that in this town, by the way.
All right, I'm sorry. Do we have that? No, we don't.
Oh,
don't
sorry. That was my bad. That was I had it in drafts. I didn't send it.
Get it together.
I know. My bad.
Oh, geez. We blew it.
There's a
we're
call.
Now.
Call on line one. I'll buy you a minute. Michael, 42, Boise.
Yeah. Yes, Adam. Question for you. I live in Boise, Idaho. I credit you with my desire to move here. You kind of motivated me 6 years ago. Just listen to your rants every day about people not following through. And so I'd like to first off thank you for that. Have a question here. I got a new house, relatively new house when I moved here, and the builders, man, they build these luxurious bathrooms,
mm-hmm,
and they put one fan in the middle of that bathroom. So you got a huge walk-in shower and there's no airflow coming out of that. So no matter, I've sealed the thing, I clean it weekly. I cannot get rid of like mold from all the steam that doesn't get sucked out.
Yeah. You, lathering up those titties? Callback.
Definitely.
I don't know.
How do you know I got this?
Don't shower so much. You're over showering. Just back it off. No one needs to shower that much. It's not even good for you. Look, you can you could get a higher volume fart fan up there. I mean, you can get one that moves more cubic inches of air per minute. And you could just go online and find something that had a little, I think Bosch makes them now, that has pretty good. You know what? Does your fart fan have the heater in it?
No, it does not.
All right. Listen to me, everybody. The one of the best things you can do for yourself is in the bathroom where you take the showers, get the fan, the vent fan, get the one that has the vent fan and the heater fan setting, because the heater fan setting will just blow hot air down onto your moist body when you step out of the shower, and it fucking feels good. And they're not that much, and it's not that big a retrofit or anything, but it is a luxury. Like if you think you're taking a shower in 5 or 10 minutes, kick on the heater fan, go in there, you walk, it'll be nice and toasty in the bathroom, step out of the shower, feel that hot air just blowing down on you. All right, step it up. That's all I'm saying. All right, now we have Joy Reid, who's complaining about racism. What? That's not like her.
Mr. This is where woke comes to die. Little mini Ron DeSantis, the little tiny governor of Florida, the tiny and I would say probably the most functionally racist governor in America, Ron DeSantis.
Oh, he's got my
vote. Turns out he's super anti-immigration, super anti-woke, but his great-great-grandmother, Luigia Colucci, came to the United States not on the Nina, the Maria, or the Santa Maria, as he might have you believe, given his complete devotion to the founders and to the people who colonized this country originally and their absolute and total moral goodness. But actually, his folks came here in 1917. So Luigia Colucci, his great-great-grandmother on his mother's side, came to the United States in February of 1917, a couple of months before the signing of an immigration act, the 1917 Immigration Act, which barred undesirable immigrants. What were undesirable immigrants back then?
Right at 30.
Turns out that included Italians.
Uh-oh.
It included the Irish. What? It included people who they considered to be lower
stuff
Europeans.
Stuff happened before.
And Italians were
that
considered
wasn't good.
To be
oh,
lower
man.
Europeans.
Look out for stuff, everybody.
To fit in with the Anglo-Saxon.
Are you saying shit happened
Americas
before and some of it
I
wasn't
mean,
good?
Not including the indigenous.
Man.
Who they wiped out with
thank
disease
God.
Because Europe was filthy and they came over here with all sorts of germs. But I digress.
There it comes. There so, it is.
Wow.
Right at 30. Right
Ron
at there.
DeSantis does not hail from the incredible sort of original, colonists of the country and the colonizers that he so reveres. He hails from what were considered to be undesirable aliens, Italians. So he himself would not have made it through his own immigration system were he to be.
What is this thing where you just sit around and just fucking talk about race all day, every day? It's so – it's gross. It's kind of weird. I never know why they're not embarrassed. Like if I just fucking dressed up – I'm Italian. If I just dressed up like a gondolier and just talked about Italian culture – yeah, we hello, it's not just the Ferrari. It's the Lamborghini and the Maserati. Understood? Like, you think I'm the biggest asshole in the world. Like, right. That's all Adam wants to talk about is Mike Piazza and Ferraris. That, it's like, we think I'm the biggest dick in the world. Like, don't you have another thought? And then I would go, you know what? In 1781 in New Brunswick, they wouldn't let Italians go into delis or something. It's like, yes, shit happened, bitch. Now shut the fuck up. It's 2023. You're on TV. Get a battery for your smoke detector. Get another one for your vibrator. And fucking pour a glass of wine and give it a break. Just give the racism shit a break for 10 seconds.
I agree. That was brutal. And I don't know why. I didn't understand what she was doing with this thing.
Little Ron DeSantis.
I didn't understand. I think it felt like she
was. His people came. Yes, everybody came over and experienced something, bitch.
But it felt like.
100 years ago.
It felt like she was trying to callously call him gay. Like she was on the limb. She was like, yeah, the thing. I'm like, I think that was. I mean, I'm a little offended. I'm not gay myself, but on behalf of.
All right. Well, listen, I have no gay friends. I mean, many gay friends and many black gay friends.
Me too. Tons.
Yeah.
All my favorites.
You never see them around at the parties I throw or anything, but I got a lot of gay friends.
I have 100% gay black friends. 100%
gay black friends.
My wife is gay and black.
Oh!
And my dad.
Oh, your dad.
Yeah.
Because my mom is gay and black.
That's right.
Too.
Yes.
Man, I wonder if they know each other. All right. We'll take a little break. Oh, what do you got? Yo, you got the story.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll do the smoke detector story right after this.
Stream hit blockbusters that will have you laughing during Popcorn Summer Movies on Pluto TV. Go on a hilarious journey with Tropic Thunder or join Queen Latifah in The Beauty Shop. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies. Available on live and on demand. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices for free. Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.
In celebration of Jim Carolla's upcoming 92nd birthday, here's a list of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Number 70. Operated a riding lawnmower. Just one of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, Joe List is here, stand-up comedian. Got a podcast out as well, Tuesdays with Stories. It's available wherever you listen to finer podcasts. And it's on, obviously, with our friend Mark Norman as well, who we all love. And
Twitter. And if you haven't seen any of his specials on YouTube, he releases
specials
on YouTube. They're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Shoot him a tweet at Joe List Comedy. All right, we have the I got some heartbreaking deviled egg stories to tell after this. Ooh. But go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, sorry I'm late. I didn't put batteries in my smoke detector, and I recently found out that I am also on the racist spectrum. So no excuses.
Yeah, but you, when you find out you're on the spectrum for racism. Yeah.
Chirping smoke detectors at students' homes were disrupting virtual classes. Now firefighters are helping to fix them. The principal at Whittier Elementary in Northwest Washington was the first to contact the fire department. Students' smoke detectors kept chirping in the background of virtual classes. The problem seemed widespread at the elementary school of more than 300 students. The principal sought help from the fire department on how to address the low batteries in smoke detectors.
Now, here's the problem that we're having in modern days. You know, politicians are going to get together and go, why isn't the fire department doing more? Or like, where's the outreach program? Or we need some funding for 9-volt batteries. Like, where are the fucking parents? Where are the adults that live in this house with this motherfucking thing going off? But this could be one more thing to add to the freeway signs here, that instead of click it or ticket, which we all got the news about the seatbelt a million years ago, what about replace the battery in your smoke detector?
Yeah. What if they put like them like the way we can measure electricity or water, just put a meter, and if your battery goes low, you get fined.
Yeah, the problem. Well, the problem is most of them aren't hardwired. All the ones with the low battery chirp are
free
floating, and they're not hardwired, so they're not going to any central brain. I want to do that thing that I wanted to do. I always say the second we started putting barbed wire around the freeway signs in Los Angeles about 20 years ago, we should have just stopped and went, wow. What the fuck's going on here, everybody?
This is not a solution.
We just put we live in a city where we have to put razor wire around freeway signs because they're being destroyed.
Wow, I didn't even notice that.
When you leave today, you'll get on that 5. That's what you'll see.
All right, I can't wait.
What I'm saying is when the smoke detector is going off and it's interrupting learning and we can't do online learning because of the chirp of the smoke detector, we need to stop and evaluate where we're at as a society. It's not about we need flyers from the fire department. There's a much deeper, insidious problem here, which is people are fucking zoned out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they don't notice because they're watching TikTok or whatever it is. I think it's just a big... it feels like procrastination is at the root of or motivation. I feel like we're all just too depressed to change the batteries. That's why I just have one that doesn't work at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gambling on it.
True. Well, what they did talk to Fire Marshal, and you're never going to believe his advice.
I can't wait.
Fire Marshal said, as soon as you hear it, you need to address it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need a better rhyme, story. Though. Yeah. If you hear a chirp, you know...
Oh,
this is as far as I've gotten.
Don't be a twerp.
Yeah.
You hear a chime, spend a dime or something.
That's
not bad. Yeah, really what we need is, okay, there's two things that are separating us from victory. The 9-volt battery may be the most expensive battery at Home Depot in that battery department. Mm-hmm. The 9-volt battery, I haven't checked in a while, but it's $6-7.
It's hefty.
And a step stool is needed.
Yeah.
Between the 9-volt battery, which isn't rolling around the battery drawer. The battery drawer has the AA's and the AAA's and the C cells. They don't have the 9-volt sitting around. People don't buy extra 9-volts because of the price tag.
Is the 9-volt that put it on your tongue and it shocks you? Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if everybody got a step stool with a 9-volt tape to it at their front door, it would solve this problem. Height versus the 9-volt. It's a non-starter.
What about don't be a batter retard?
Batter
retard. Yeah, I'm just trying to work it out. I'm just workshopping
here. But also, what else is going on in this household with these parents? You know what I mean? Like, how much breakfast is being served? How many lunches are being packed? How much time are they spending doing homework with their child? I'm guessing there's a global problem.
It's a symptom. Yeah, there's more happening here.
All right. Now, on to some... deviled egg tragedy.
I'm nervous.
You like deviled eggs?
I gotta be honest, I'm not overly familiar with what a deviled egg is. I know scrambled egg.
Let me write this down.
Deviled egg. This is my prop plane.
Have you heard of poach?
I've heard of poach, and I have very little egg. I don't know the difference between sunny side up and dark side up, whatever the fuck it is.
Don't order dark side up.
I'm a big scramble guy. Scramble with some cheese.
Yeah, no, that's good, but the deviled eggs are their own thing.
Hard boiled, I know.
I love a goddamn deviled egg.
Take me through the deviled egg. For those of us who are not familiar with the deviled
egg. Now, the deviled egg is you cut the hard-boiled egg in half.
Right.
You scoop out the yolk.
Uh-huh.
You leave the white as a...
Like a little cup.
Like a little cup.
Right, okay.
You take the yolk and you mix it up like a little mayonnaise, a little Dijon, a little sweet relish. You can chop up some onion finely and things like that. Mash it all up and then you put it back into the yolk or into the white like a cup and sprinkle a little paprika on top of it. Delectable.
Feels like a lot of work.
I never do it myself. I farm it out.
I see.
But yes, it is delectable.
Okay.
I've had quite a milestone, because when I used to take if I go anywhere to eat and they have deviled eggs as an appetizer, I'm always in. But no one in my family wanted deviled eggs. There's something bizarre about deviled eggs. People either love them or they hate them. They're up there with beets.
Right.
I love beets and I love deviled eggs, and it'll split the room every time. People hate beets. I hate deviled eggs. Deviled eggs, they don't even know what it is a lot of time, which is weird because it's very American, 4th of July picnic-y kind of, anyway.
But it's like a tier above, like nobody in the, quote, yummy phase would be eating a deviled
right.
egg.
Right. Yeah. So a great breakthrough in my life, which is my daughter has decided to come over to the dark side and enjoy me in my deviled eggs. So when we go out to dinner at a certain spot, we will order the deviled eggs.
Okay.
And she will eat them. Problem with me is when I used to just eat them all, it would be 4 to 6 eggs. So yeah. Once you consume that much protein, you're not really waiting on your steak at that point. But anyway, a large batch for a gathering of deviled eggs was to be made. And here's what drives me nuts about the motherfucking internet. So I say to the woman who's going to make the eggs, who was Olga, I go, this. She goes, I never made deviled eggs before. I go, listen, it's just a yolk, it's mayonnaise, it's a little sweet relish, and whatever. She gets a recipe from a woman who'll go unnamed, which involves red cider vinegar. I said, no, it needs to be a little on the sweet side. The thing that's right. good about deviled eggs is a little sweet relish in there with the mayonnaise. It works.
It's too acidic.
I got this from the internet. I made egg salad 3 days earlier. No, not a drop of red wine vinegar. So that's what the internet, that's what they're suggesting. Highly rated on the internet. I do the, I'm done fighting. I'm going to go get dressed, make the eggs, however you want. A huge batch of eggs comes out. A huge. There's like 30 of them. I take the bite. It tastes like vinegar. I go, well, it's okay, except for it tastes like shitty, sour vinegar. And then Olga takes it. Everyone puts it in their mouth and goes, yeah, it tastes like vinegar. I'm like, okay, but why? Why? Then why? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to go? First off, it cost me money to add the vinegar to ruin the deviled eggs. It cost 12 cents. And then it's like, always like, I didn't put that much vinegar in. It's like, it should have no vinegar. This shit was made for 150 years with zero fucking red wine vinegar in it, and some asshole, some woke fucking highfalutin asshole on the internet decided there was a version of this that needed to be tangy and acidic, which doesn't work at all for fucking deviled eggs. You pull out the vinegar and you add a little sweet relish and you're right at a perfect
spot. Yeah, the acid should come from the relish, maybe the mustard.
When you are looking for a recipe for this, one of the things you should ask the person you're asking the recipe for is, do you have a dish that was specifically made for these eggs? Have you seen this? My mom, we grew up with a dish.
A carved out dish.
Specific egg.
When you say dish, you mean plate. Yeah.
Yes, plate. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, oh yeah. And that's a winner.
If you have one of those in your house, then we can trust your deviled egg recipe.
Neither one of the two people I was arguing with had ever made deviled eggs before or consumed deviled eggs. But yet, I had to acquiesce.
It was
destroyed.
I've never had a deviled egg. Honestly, I apologize for the ignorance.
But if I told you how to make them, would you try to school me up?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
Something on your smartphone?
No, nor do I want vinegar in anything.
No,
really.
It's like I'm sitting there looking at the fucking vinegar thing going, don't do it. Just don't do it.
It's like a.
I don't know why. It's not going to add anything. It's going to pretend. It's like, that's what the internet says.
It's like a guy in a building.
Just don't jump. Don't. Please. Ugh. Dawson, your childhood With deviled eggs being, that's a good childhood right there.
But you're saying this is a 4th of July food?
Oh, we have. It's a summertime.
It's a summertime
deal, but Father's Day, Mother's Day.
But let me just say this. Let me just say this with the motherfucking deviled eggs, and I have to say this to everyone all the time. The deviled eggs that Dawson remembers from his fair to Midland youth, mm-hmm. and the deviled eggs that I remember from my horrible youth, we're not broken. We do not need to fix them with this fucking vinegar.
Right.
Do you understand? They're not broken. We don't need to fucking juice them up. It's good. It's deviled eggs. That's all you want. You don't get burnt out on deviled eggs because you eat deviled eggs once a year. So you never think, oh, it's the same old deviled egg. Yes, that's the one you remember from your youth. Stop fucking having assholes on the internet putting their own fucking stink on deviled eggs. It's mayonnaise, a little sweet relish, you chop up an onion if you like paprika, salt, pepper. Done. Fucking done.
Can I say,
wasn't broken.
I feel similarly about, and this may be controversial, a lot of pizza places that have pizza, are replacing a classic cheese pizza with a margarita.
Yeah.
Which have both. But some places you go and you're like, can I get a cheese pizza? Like, well, we have margarita. And I feel similarly. I'm like, I don't want plants in my cheese pizza.
I don't
want to give me the sauce and the cheese.
I'm with you 1,000% on pizza. I don't get the abomination of that. Well, we do a cheeseless pizza. It's not pizza, bitch. If it's cheeseless, it's just fucking flat bread with sauce
bread
on
sauce.
It.
Yeah,
the margarita, I think people like saying margarita.
Right.
Because there's no... The margarita pizza is the Raisinets, as is to Goobers, meaning people like saying Raisinets. Chocolate-covered peanuts are better than chocolate-covered raisins, but they like the sound of it, and people like ordering a margarita pizza. Margarita pizza's weird. It's got a bunch of leaves on top
basil,
of it.
Basil, tomatoes.
And tomatoes.
And,
yeah.
And by the way, tomato sauce belongs on a pizza, not tomatoes. They just get pussy and bleed out.
Exactly.
And they're hot. Hot tomatoes are gross.
Yes.
It's tomato sauce. It's already there. Look, fucking get sausage, meatball, or whatever. But, as long as we're complaining about pizza, can we get a ruling and a definition of sausage? Because I get burned a lot.
Interesting.
Which is, when I order, I recently just had this. It was a pizza that was had pepperoni and this, that, and the other on it. And I said, why don't we swap out the pepperoni for sausage? I like sausage more than pepperoni. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two kinds of sausage, which I always forget about. There's the sausage that's in my head. Sounds gay. And then there's the sausage that comes on the pizza. The sausage that's in my head are round circles of sausage that have been cut about a quarter inch thick. The sausage that's on the pizza is the crumbled sausage.
Yeah.
You need to pipe up. If you're taking an order and I go, give me sausage and onion, and you're talking about the ground up crumbled kind that rolls off and tastes weird and dry and cheap, you need to say you're not getting rings of sausage.
The sliced sausage.
Yeah. In which case, I will change my order.
Uh-huh.
Now, where are we with this?
I don't know. Because it is ground and cheap, that's the kind of sausage that I grew up on, so I actually don't mind that sausage.
It doesn't adhere very well sometimes.
No, it falls off, but then that's extra eaten after
but
your pizza.
Okay, here's my point. Would you ever sit home, like if somebody said, you want some sausage for dinner tonight? And they just gave you a bowl of crumbled up sausage.
Right,
and you
go, right.
Yeah, just eat it with a spoon. You'd be like, that's not sausage.
Right.
I want sausage.
Yeah.
Now,
all right, so this is sausage.
Yes.
They fucking snuck this crumbled up pork shit. And by the way, you're showing a picture of too big a pieces of the crumbled up shit. I'm talking crumbled up. Like it's like ground.
It looks like ground beef.
Beef.
I worked in pizza places since I was 14, and that is the standard. You have a bulk of sausage in your hand, and you are peeling pieces off and throwing it on the pizza. That is the standard.
The round. Way. Round
no,
sausage.
No, not round.
The ground sausage.
The ground sausage. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you're saying you're peeling them off and no, throwing them on a piece? Just, you're not peeling them off. You're just shaking your hand, right?
No, no, no. You have to. It's a
it's
gulp.
Like a big meatball.
It's a big thing of sausage, and you have to. It's pull like pick a it off. Piece of
oh,
it off.
I guess the
it's
peel
like feeding ducks on the, with bread.
Yeah, so that's standard.
Really?
Yeah.
But then why? Then oh, where did the hoops of sausage oof. Ever come around?
Like
where,
came from lazy know. People who don't want to wash their hands.
It's too fancy.
You have to wash your hands after you put sausage on a pizza. People, you know, decided that it was just easier to have the cased sausage and slice that up. And put it there, but that's not.
That's
a shortcut.
Easier?
That's a shortcut.
Why is that a shortcut? It feels like there's yeah, more
that,
to that.
That feels harder to me. That feels like it costs.
The
more
reason
money,
it feels more expensive and harder because I'm seeing less and less actual cased yeah. sausage on there. Mm. Well, where are we coming down though? I want the fucking cased shit. I'm picturing sausage when I'm asking for sausage, and I think there's precedent for it because what if somebody said, I'd like a pepperoni pizza. And you went, fine, I'll get a big ball of pepperoni. It's all ground up and I'll throw it at the pizza.
Pepperoni does not exist in that
state. You would be pissed. You'd go, where's my circle of pepperoni? I want my pepperoni circle. Or what if you said, I want olives, and someone made olives into mulch and just threw it at the pizza?
I'm
angrily.
I would love to
what
know.
What would you say,
I
Joe?
I would love to know the percentage of which... is more in pizza places. You're saying the ground up is much more prevalent.
I wonder if there's a, first off, East Coast, West Coast, because I don't feel like the ground would fly in the East Coast as much as the cased.
I don't know. I'm not a big sausage on a pizza guy. I'm such a classic
cheese
pizza.
You like deviled
eggs
on a pizza?
I like just a cheese pizza, classic cheese. I'm like Kevin McAllister. I really love a good old-fashioned cheese pizza.
So is it, it must be East Coast, West Coast, because Dawson, you're doing a California thing,
definitely
right?
California, but I honestly think it's universal. We'll have to find.
But I used to see the cased. Oh, look! All I'm saying is, if you got your pepperoni mulched up and Dawson threw it at the pizza, you would be pissed. You want your circle of pepperoni. Yeah. I want my circle of sausage. All I'm saying is when you order, I think they need to go. It's ground, or it's whatever, because that would weigh heavily into my decision-making.
I mean, the standard, a sausage and onion pizza, imagine seeing that. We have eaten them together, and that is sausage pulled off of a mound.
I disagree. I've had many a sausage pizza with the round-cased sausage pieces on it. Now we got to find out, is it East Coast, is it West Coast? And Dawson, I think you flipped the script on my sausage. I think the cheaper way. Look, how does Domino's and Pizza Hut do it?
Yeah, that's
the ground sausage.
That's the cheapest way
actually,
to do it.
Actually, Domino's and Pizza Hut, their ground sausage is delivered. It's manufactured. It's delivered. It comes as a topping.
But
and you
they're doing
it
the
it
cheapest way.
Real way is you take the ground sausage and you pull some off and throw it
but
on.
if this was about money and effort and Domino's could save 2 cents a pizza doing the hoops of sausage that I prefer, that's what they would be serving for sausage.
Now there's an album name, Hoops Domino's, of Sausage. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. All right, Dawson, you should have kept sleeping. All right. Well, take a break. I want to find out, though, what do you think? Is it East Coast, West Coast? I think if you order a slice on the East Coast, you're going to be pissed if you get crumbled sausage.
Boy, I can't. I'm not a sausage guy. I can't.
Yeah, well, you say you have a lot
Emmy,
of
who has
friends,
spent some
right?
time in New York, is agreeing with you.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Well, he knows who fucking signs his paychecks. All right. Take a quick break. Do some news right after this. Let me tell you about Angie Homeowners. You know, it's a lot of work to own a home, whether it's everyday maintenance, repairs, or dream projects. It can be hard to even know where to start. All you need is Angie. Your home for everything home. Find a skilled local pro who will deliver quality and experience. Over 20 years of home service experience. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie handles the rest. Look, You're busy. You don't have time to do all this stuff. Let Angie handle it. Take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit online. Visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. A-N-G-I.com. That's Angie. Let them do all the heavy lifting. Let me tell you about Turo. Innovative. It's the world's largest car sharing marketplace with Turo. You can book any car you want, wherever you want, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget. Book an SUV or a minivan for a family road trip, a pickup truck for some errands, or even test drive an EV. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Find your drive. Forget your boring rental cars at Turo. Turo.com. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for your maintenance and repairs. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of the car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. If your check engine light is on, O'Reilly Auto Parts will scan it and retrieve your trouble codes for free. If needed, they'll even refer you to a repair shop. When you're a do-it-yourselfer and need a specialty tool to finish the job, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about their loaner tool program. Simply pay a refundable deposit and borrow the right tool. Then get your deposit back when it's returned. Ready for some new wiper blades? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you pick out just what you need for your car and will even install them for you for free. O'Reilly Auto Parts has thousands of quality parts and accessories in stock that you might need to keep your vehicle running at its best. Place your order online at O'Reilly Auto Parts and then pick it up at your local store. You can even have your order shipped directly to your doorstep, giving you the freedom of shopping on your schedule. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man 2024, right fucking now. That's Bobby and Carson. Get it on. Now's the time to run for president. There's no way you can lose. We love you. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
A chicken in every pot and a 9-volt battery in every smoke detector. That is my promise to you. Citizens of this fine nation. I love every Joe Biden speech. He's like, we live in the greatest nation that's ever been created. Now let's get back to talking about how racist we are and how it's baked into every aspect of this country. And it's always been
right.
And we're great. And we can do anything except for the most racist. All right. So Emmy is seeing that on the West Coast, mostly crumbled. All we do is fuck up things on the West Coast.
That's the sausage I know best.
Because you're fucking poor and dumb. Now you're just dumb?
No, I'm so poor.
I'm
definitely so poor.
Right. East Coast is more of a split. Chicago is crumbled. So East Coast, I'm just saying.
Well, we should trust Chicago. Chicago just went rogue with their pizza.
What you've got to do is you've got to go to, is it John's in New York?
John's is great. There's Joe's and John's.
Joe's and John's.
Joe's is slices. John's is no slices.
Yelp these guys, Ben. Let's see what their sausage pizza
looks like. Yeah, call them up. They're open.
Let's go to the heart of the lion and figure out what they're doing with sausage.
I think we call some New York pizza play. I mean, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. They're ready to take a call.
All right.
I got nothing better to
Should we do a little news?
Sure. So pro wrestling legend and pop culture fixture, the Iron Sheik has died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They just announced that he was 81.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know your history with him at all. I saw you tweet that you should just Google him and Frank James. You tweeted that years ago. But
oh, the porn star?
Yeah.
If you find the right picture of the Iron Sheik's face and porn legend Frank James, I think you'll see a lot of the same similarities.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. He'll
be missed.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked over here.
Breaking just now, just today.
The Camel mm-hmm. Clutch.
Mm-hmm.
Gave birth to Hulkamania.
You a big wrestling fan?
I wasn't when I was a kid. I haven't been in 20 years. But like 88 through 93, I was really all in. The ages that you should be into wrestling.
I filed wrestling, professional wrestling, under the same as I filed G.I. Joe dolls. Like, oh, this is just homo shit. Wow. That's all I thought.
Well, that's how I felt. From age 7 to 11, I was like, this is on. And then I turned 12, and I was like, I'm done with wrestling.
All boys are, from 7 to 11, we're all gay.
Yeah.
We like He-Man and all these characters, these big bulging muscles and stuff. Oh, like, we're all super gay from about 7 to 11.
I sucked everybody off in elementary
yeah,
school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. Just
sucking all the kids off. Watching Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of New York, New York City health officials just debuted their new vending machine that features free drug paraphernalia and anti-overdose meds for addicts. So they started in Brooklyn. This vending machine is designed to curb this trend of overdoses by giving addicts free access to naloxone drug test strips that detect fentanyl and safer smoking kits that come with a pipe, a mouthpiece.
Well, wait a minute. I learned from Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom that the homeless were sleeping outside because of the income gap and
yes.
because there was a mother of three who...
But that's the ground sausage pizza people. Oh. This is the sliced sausage
okay, good.
People in New York.
All right. Well, this will work.
Yeah.
So they, fucking idiots.
So they have it comes with a pipe, a mouthpiece, lip balm for smoking crack and crystal meth. Also has safer sniffing kits, condoms, tampons, nicotine gum, first aid packages. So this is all free. You just have to enter your zip code to prove that you know that
well,
you're from New York.
Well, this is their barbed wire around the freeway signs, everybody. Now, here's what I do love. Here's what I do love about anybody who supports this vending machine with syringes and dildos
now,
and butt
syringes
plush.
Are coming. There are no syringes yet. But
I'm on a roll here.
Plans.
Just let me finish. Sure. Water-soluble lube, porn, and butt plugs and strap-ons, and throwing stars and syringes. Anybody, I guarantee you, the people that were the tip of the spear of this vending machine, if I told them, I'm thinking about putting up one of those old-timey vending machines that sells cigarettes. They'd be outraged.
Of course.
They'd be like, are you kidding me? Do you understand what you're doing to the community? Like, they would be apoplectic if I brought up a vending machine with cigarettes in it.
It's an attack on society.
It's an attack on society. But yours, with your nunchucks and your syringes brimming with fentanyl and your nun outfits and your lube, no problem
okay.
there.
It's all right. And it's blue.
Yeah,
it looks
all right,
nice.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
So they unveiled this on Monday. By Tuesday, they have reported that all the crack pipes have been taken.
All right.
The opioid overdose program director said, yeah, we kind of saw this coming. We're going to have to restock this thing every day, probably multiple times a day.
Oh, wow.
The neighbors, by the way, where this vending machine is located.
They gotta love it.
They're very upset. By the way, it's lit up at night.
They
said it looks like a candy machine.
The property value is going through the roof in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Somebody used chalk and right in front of it on the sidewalk just wrote poor choices. and they said that the future machines they plan on having syringes. But yeah, this is a way for people to safely be able to use all their drugs.
Yeah. So here's the thing, which is we have a bunch of people living outside, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And instead of cleaning it up, especially when we could have cleaned it up, we've thought, well, you know what? Let's bring the mountain to Muhammad. Let's bring the inside outside. So we got a bunch of people living on a sidewalk. We should bring them a bathroom and a washing station and a zone where they can shoot their drugs up. And so we essentially, like, pretty soon, we're just, it's going to be Nintendo and a Barca Lounger. Like, we're just, we, the sane people who live indoors, went, we got to start bringing the indoors outdoors. And we just started bringing all the shit they needed out to the sidewalk. As if that would put a dent in this population or this problem, it just keeps getting worse because we keep doing more and spending more. Ugh. I don't know.
Well, it's starting in New York. I mean, I guess they've done it in Europe and Australia, and they said it was pretty effective.
I think there's less people like this in Europe and Australia.
I have explained many times, Europe, you know, we always do this. Like in Luxembourg, that's not us. Right. We have fucking batshit crazy violent people here. We don't have Luxembourgians. We have basically, there's two bees. They look the same. One is a honeybee and the other is an Africanized killer bee. We are Africanized killer bees in this. And all the things they do in these other places that work do not work here because we're not them. Yeah.
When I went to Italy last year, like it took me days to realize there's no open container laws. And I'm like looking around like, why isn't everybody walking around with a tall can or like taking shots while they're walking down the street?
We got Joe's Pizza in New York with the sausage.
That's sliced.
They do slice it. They would not put up with this chicken shit, Dawson, in New York.
It must be a California thing.
I think it's a West Coast thing.
Now I'm embarrassed.
But it'll spread. Whatever's cheaper will win. So it'll spread because it's a little bit cheaper.
Right.
Whatever.
I honestly think it's cheaper to buy the sausage bulk and not cased.
But why? Why is Domino's and
Domino's
Pizza Hut
sausage
doing it?
Is prefabricated?
You have these thoughts before you enter the studio, or you just have the opposite thoughts of my thoughts?
See, this seems fancier to me. Like when you say you want your sausage sliced,
you can't use Domino's as a yardstick for any of this shit.
I can because they're the biggest pizza supplier in the world, and they have millions of units, and they're gonna, if they can shave a nickel a unit off, then that's the direction they're gonna go.
Their sausage is not real sausage. It's prefabricated. It's delivered in a bag. It doesn't matter if it's sliced or whatever. In a bag, it's going to be the same shit that they pour out. When you're making a fresh sausage pizza, you have the chunk of sausage.
You think it's cheaper? You think the ground... slices of the case stuff is cheaper than the ground stuff.
The ground stuff is cheaper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, I don't know how we got off. It's
totally
cheaper.
Is that what he was saying? I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's what I've been saying since the beginning,
Since the beginning?
I don't.
Yes.
No, I think you were saying something else.
What do you think is a more premium topping? The sliced or the ground?
I think the way a pizza is cooked, the ground is more premium. Because you get the more grease, the more evenly cooked.
It's cheaper as well.
I think it's cheaper as well.
Yeah. Well, everyone in this room is confused.
If I can jump in real quick, it's definitely cheaper. I remember longer the days in New York where they used to just cook the sausage off to the side and then, you know, slice it right in front of you and throw it up on the pizza. But from what I've heard in New York, the demand for sausage pizza has gone down, that they've had to go with that ground crap. And so that's why you're seeing it pop up way more often.
It's the same stuff. It's just not in a casing. It's not crap.
All right, if I made you a bowl of sausage for dinner tonight, would you enjoy a bowl of sausage? I could squirt some mustard on the top of it. You could mix it all up with a spoon, a wooden spoon. It's a bowl of sausage. Yes, pizza has a shape as well. I'll give you a ball of pizza. Let's just take a ball.
Who cares about form anymore?
Yeah, here's a nice softball-sized chunk of pizza. Eat it like an apple. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, we actually would do that. Yeah, that sounds unbelievable. That's essentially a mozzarella stick, I think.
All right, what else we got?
All right. So speaking of the drugs.
You know what this motherfucking ground sausage is going to be? It's going to be the next passion fruit iced tea. They're going to get rid of regular iced tea. They already got rid of it. They replaced it with passion fruit because it's 2 cents cheaper. Mm-hmm. And now my beloved sausage. I dream of America, of an America where I can sit there drinking my old-fashioned flavored iced tea without a hint of passion fruit and a slice of pizza with circular sausage that adorns its top.
You got to run.
I got to run. You're right.
I think you could win
right
on this.
Maybe they were right. All right, what else we got?
So the International Air Transport Association just released some reports about bad behavior and unruly passengers on planes.
Yeah.
So obviously it's been up, especially since COVID. A lot of it was mask mandates. So those were all reported.
Off for all of them. Fuck you. Fuck you, airlines. It didn't do anything. But anyway.
Yeah. But so a new report talked about noncompliance, verbal abuse, and intoxication were the most frequently reported incidents last year on planes. But a further breakdown of the number one noncompliance issue that they dealt with on planes, vaping.
Yeah, it's a major medical issue. A
lot of people just sneaking vapes on planes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and getting caught for it. So, yeah, and other ones, failure to fasten seatbelts.
All right, can we do this? How about this? There's two things I want. The luggage space above your seat is yours and only yours.
Right.
This fucking thing where I get on the plane, it's, your shit's full up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
they have to go back.
There's somebody that's 22 seats back who just wanted to fucking valet their Samsonite over at my house.
Drives me nuts.
And then, like, come on out and pick it up. I'll get it warmed up, sir. We'll have it waiting out front. You pick it up. Like, fuck off. It goes above your fucking seat. And by the way, if you start doing it this way, then you've thrown the entire balance of nature off.
Yes. Chaos.
Because now I have to go six seats behind to find the fucking open one above your motherfucking narcissistic seat. Then when we deplane, I got to go full spawning salmon to try to get to my fucking luggage because there's no room above my seat.
I won't even do that. I just wait.
You just
don't want to deal with it.
Oh, God. That's the cuck way to do it.
It you is. It really
blast
is.
Back
it's embarrassing.
Crowd surf.
Eating my ground sausage. All shame.
That's why everyone rushes to get on the plane. People make fun of them. It's like comics that have bits, or people will be like, why are you in a hurry to get on the plane to just sit there? I'm like, because there's limited space. People are going to take it. I fucking elbow people to be the first one.
I've had
I'm diamond, so
motherfucking first class tickets, got on and had to do the gate check.
Right.
Where I go, I have a first class ticket and a duffel bag. And they're like, yeah, it's all full up. And I'm like, I have a first class ticket. I don't get the space above my seat. And they're like, it's all full up.
Should be marked.
All right. So that's number one. Number two, no fucking using the first class head. That's not yours.
Yeah.
You pay such a crazy premium to fly first. The least you should be able to do is go in and use that head. I cannot tell you the amount of times I've been in first class, got up to go use the head, and some guy from row 31 is up there shitting it up. Like, fuck that. We won't do it anymore because we're all scared of, like, elitism and classism and the gap and blah, blah, blah. Enforce the fucking rule.
Right.
And they put the little net thing up, the little mosquito net, but a lot of people just cruise right by it.
They all cruise right past it and shit up the first class head.
But I have to admit, as somebody who is diamond status, with Delta, I fly first class the majority of the time, but sometimes I'll be in Comfort Plus and I'm like, I think I've earned my right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't just shit.
Diamond status.
I don't shit, yeah.
Yeah.
And if anyone asks, I just show my bank account. I'm like, look at this. Oh. Six figures, baby.
Vaping is water and nicotine and whatever flavor. Now, I can't tell, when people say no vaping, are they talking about pot or are they talking about nicotine?
I think it's the regular vape, but people are quite brazen with it.
They are. So it's the smoking of cigarettes, e-cigarettes, vapes, and puff devices.
E-cigarette.
So e-cigs and vapes are still the same category.
All right, but who gives a fuck? Nicotine is as dangerous as caffeine, meaning it's not. Hmm. It's addictive. It's not dangerous. What's dangerous is the delivery of the smoke.
Right.
So who gives a fuck? I mean, there's a big thing. You know, all these commercials, vape on the brain, you know, vape, the lungs, the scans or whatever. These are the same dicks that were telling you what COVID was going to do to you 5 minutes ago. Long haulers syndrome. They're all fucking lying. They've been lying about this shit for a million years. These same fuckers said that 55,000 people died of secondhand smoke every year. For years, they would say that. And I would say, when does that exist? And I would talk to Dr. Drew about it all the time. He'd go, nobody died of secondhand smoke. Doesn't exist. I'd go, have you ever read an article in JAMA about secondhand smoke? That's as many people's died in fucking Vietnam, by the way, every year to secondhand smoke. And he'd go, there was an article once where they suggested maybe three people dying. I was like, they will lie. They will fucking lie about AIDS being an equal opportunity. You know, if you're heterosexual, they will fucking lie about everything, just like they got done lying about COVID. So do not believe them when they're on to their next thing, which is now vaping.
They already got you on sliced sausage.
That's right. Mm. Fucking liars. So anyway,
but doesn't it bother you, though, that there is a rule of no vaping?
Yes.
And then they're breaking the rule. It's the same as the overhead. This idea that they're brazenly breaking the rule.
No, this is more of a societal thing where we've decided that it's the scariest, most dangerous thing. I guarantee you everybody who I know in the business in Los Angeles would much rather their kids smoke a ton of weed than vape nicotine. They're fucking, it's propaganda. They're fucked in the head. They have no idea what's going on. This is more chick think. It's insane. But they would much rather their kids smoke weed than smoke a vaporized water form of nicotine. Now, look, I'll fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You have to do a vape that smells like ass.
Mm.
Go into the bathroom, shut the door. Vape away.
Yeah.
And then when you come out, you just apologize to whoever's waiting.
Nobody can shame you.
They can't shame you for vaping.
Shit shaming is out.
Shit shaming. Yeah, bygone era. They cannot shit shame. And there's no way they're going to connect it to vaping.
Right. Yeah.
You created this already. It was the ACE Award for Invention of the Year, and it's called Ascent.
Ascent. Oh. Yeah. And nobody's savvy enough or keen enough to walk in and go, this smells like synthesized ass. This doesn't smell like regular ass.
Isn't it going to taste like shit also?
Obviously, we've not gotten to the R&D.
We're on my first round of funding.
Right. Okay. I don't want to throw roadblocks.
No, obviously.
Easy, Mr. Science.
Obviously, we're going to have to figure it out. But, you know, there are plenty of things. Look no further than the deviled egg.
Mm.
If you walked into a house where they're making deviled eggs in the kitchen, you'd be like, who farted? Oh, man. Like, it smells like eggs. It smells like egg fart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pop it in your mouth. Delectable. I'm going to make a vape that tastes like deviled egg.
I like that. Oh, this is a better sell.
It'll taste like deviled egg. I'll call it Mama's Picnic. 4th of July, and it'll smell like ass when you exhale. Yeah. Oh, my God.
On the way out. Mm. I think deviled egg vape is a better sell than fucking human shit vape.
R&D, we're just in our first round of funding.
It's all about branding, too.
We're going to get a couple focus groups together. We'll see.
We got three so far, like ground versus slice pizza. This is sad. It's like when people like a really shitty band, you know. Mm. It's like I just go. It's like all the fucking Nimrods who like the Beastie Boys and stuff. I just go, oh, you poor dear. You don't know. You've been poisoned. You don't know what happened. You ate the ground stuff when you were nine, in between sessions of molestation by your uncle, and it was the only piece of joy you had in your life, and now you're fucking hooked on it. I got to do a whole podcast about growing out of shit that you learn when you're fucking nine and stupid.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When you are eating your beloved lasagna, do you prefer ground?
That's how it's made.
Sausage?
I prefer how it's made. Okay. I think we established that with my deviled eggs. It's what it is. If that's the recipe for lasagna, I'll guarantee that sausage on a motherfucking pizza was around for 70 years before some asshole introduced the ground part. The guys,
I will,
Everybody who stormed the beaches at Normandy had a rifle in one hand and a slice in the other with round cased sausage. All the greats, the greatest generation, the greatest generation,
ground sausage,
the greatest generation. This ground sausage. This is a fucking newfangled. It's a fad.
This might be look-upable. I mean, what's the oldest photo of a sausage pizza we can find? We need, you know.
I think ground was not a part of my childhood.
I wish my uncle Sadamo was still alive.
It's now a reality.
You know, you should text Kimmel about this.
No.
He would have.
Kimmel's default is disagree with Dawson.
Disagrees. Are you kidding? He disagrees with me. He told me when I tried to invent yogurt with fruit in the middle that it wouldn't work. Because it would all go to the bottom.
It all go to the bottom anyway.
No, he told me all yogurt started with fruit at the top and went down to the bottom. Sand? I was like, what? Are you just disagreeing with me now? So don't expect any culinary agreements from Kimmel. No, no. He once told me about pizza. I said to him, I love mushroom on the pizza, but I fucking hate the ones that have been soaked in water. The canned mushrooms, they're like weird and chewy and stuff. Mm. I like fresh mushrooms. And he said, I like the canned ones better.
He's wrong. You're right.
Is he, or is he just disagreeing with me?
Dawson's just better because of the calzone thing.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing Jimmy on Monday, so I'm going to get into this pizza stuff with him. But yeah, if we could, I say sausage in the sausage link cased form predates the crumbled form by 50 years.
There's got to be a photo of an old pizza somewhere on Ellis Island with a sausage pizza.
But it's going to be black and white, and Dawson's going to go, that's pepperoni.
Right.
Yeah. See if you can find any hieroglyphics of like old pizza. Like,
Let's see what the ancient Egyptians did.
Yeah. All right. Let me give a plug here, Joe List. The podcast, Tuesdays with Stories, and Mark Norman's on that as well. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. And then Joe's also coming up in Columbus Funny Bone. That'll be June 16th and the 17th as well. JoeList.com is where you go for dates.
Comedian Joe List.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yes. Comedian Joe List.
Websites.
I'm going to be in Nashville at the City Winery tomorrow with Tommy Howell, Wolverines! And I've got Huntsville, Alabama, and Las Vegas, and Pasadena. And just go to adamcarolla.com because I'm coming to a town near you. And, of course, Stuart Copeland as well, the Police Deranged for Orchestra. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Joe List, Stuart Copeland, Chris Rex Pat saying mahalo.
Get yourself a copy of any of Adam's books wherever finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com and it's ground sausage on pizza.
Stream hit blockbusters that will have you laughing during Popcorn Summer Movies on Pluto TV. Go on a hilarious journey with Tropic Thunder or join Queen Latifah in The Beauty Shop. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies. Available on live and on demand. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices for free. Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.
Globally, humans are facing massive problems that are widely ignored by governments and the media.
Like personal space invaders.
I've had it with these couples that sit on the same side of the booth.
Yak mouths.
Stupid stick figure bumper stickers.
Almond milk. You cannot milk an almond.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Angie.
We call her Pumps, and we're the hosts of I've Had It. Pumps, tell the listener where they can find us.
Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nailed it.
See you next Tuesday.